In the beginning, the comic strips. There were two kinds of superstars on the funny pages: the colorful characters whose names were emblazoned at the top of the strip, and their creators, whose names were slugged next to them in bold letters nearly as large. Comic strips had become an American institution a few years into the 20th century. The early efforts varied in size, format, and quality, exemplified by Winsor McCay's Little Nemo in Slumberland, with its idiosyncratic look and exotic appeal. The comic strips were always packaged into a discrete section, popularly known as the funny papers, or the funnies. The early funnies were exactly that, humorous digressions into American life, usually rendered through the antics of misbehaved children, gently embattled families, mismatched friends, or communities thrown into conflict by a variety of implacable or goofy characters. They were a gentle funhouse mirror of American life, and soon evolved from reflecting the American way of life to becoming an indelible part of it. As the popularity of the funnies grew, so did the money to be made from them. Cartoonists routinely submitted their work to national syndicates, who edited, refined, and packaged the strips, then leased them to papers around the country. By 1927, the 40 million newspapers circulated across the nation contained more than 2,000 different syndicated features. The vast preponderance of these features was comic strips. In an age when radio was just beginning to extend its vast empire of the air, the daily newspaper strip was a powerful way of connecting with readers, young and old, and not just connecting with them on a visceral level, but on a serial level. The appeal of continuity cannot be overestimated. Comic strips hooked readers on a daily basis in an unprecedented way. Aside from the most absurdist strips, or one-panel features, most comic strips developed some kind of narrative thread by the mid-1920s. The phrase, "to be continued," supposedly was coined in 1903 for a comic strip. Newspapers quickly caught on to this benign addiction. The best-endowed papers leased the most popular strips from the most powerful syndicates, such as the Chicago Tribune New York News Syndicate and the United Features Syndicate. Woe betide the young fan of Popeye or Blondie, whose father's politics veered to the liberal New York Herald Tribune. Their escapades were only syndicated in the Journal American, a Hearst newspaper with conservative political values. By the mid-1920s, a new kind of feature was added to the daily paper, an innovation whose power exploded exponentially every Sunday in the full-color sections: the adventure strip. Adventure strips were far more serious in nature and followed some sort of dashing hero, and often his cohorts, who used both might and main, as well as wits, to escape various hazards and perils. Perhaps these strips were inspired by the various real-life heroes, such as Charles Lindbergh, Babe Ruth, and Jack Dempsey, whose exploits were being celebrated in the front and back pages of the newspaper. Perhaps they were the logical extension of the taste for heroic fiction that emerged after the war, such as Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan of the Apes, or Johnston McCulley's serial The Curse of Capistrano, which featured the swashbuckling Zorro. Perhaps readers had simply gotten weary of the pranks and silliness of most comic strips. It hardly mattered. The stage was set in 1924 when Harold Gray's Little Orphan Annie found herself in harm's way for the first, but not last, time, and Roy Crane's bumptious feature Wash Tubbs introduced a soldier of fortune named Captain Easy, who quickly hijacked the strip and by the end of the 1920s commandeered the Sunday spread. In a seemingly impossible coincidence, although maybe not so improbable in a comic strip, two groundbreaking adventure strips debuted on the same day, January 7, 1929. Buck Rogers, a crudely drawn space opera, was repurposed from the pulp fiction adventures about a World War I veteran who was caught in suspended animation and awakened in the 25th century. Although the outer space antics of Buck and company were to be widely imitated, the more influential strip that landed on the kitchen table with a thump on that cold Monday was Tarzan, consummately drawn by Hal Foster, who, after a brief respite in 1930, continued with the strip until 1937. Transplanting the resourceful ape man from his fictional roots to the graphically exciting world of the comic strip proved to be a natural transition and set a high watermark for the genre. In 1934, two other cornerstones of adventure strips appeared: Alex Raymond achieved one of the most astonishing trifectas in comics history when, within 2 weeks in January, he debuted three separate narrative comic features. The spy strip Secret Agent X-9, scripted by, of all people, Dashiell Hammett, Jungle Jim, who buckled his swash, unsurprisingly, in the jungle, and perhaps the most ambitious of all strips, Flash Gordon, about a rugged blonde adventurer who must endure the ultimate alienation effect when he's sent to the planet Mongo to fend off the imperialist mischief of Ming the Merciless. For fans of more down-to-earth adventures, there was the ultimate Soldier of Fortune narrative, Terry and the Pirates. Created by artist Milton Caniff and drawn in a unique and influential graphic style, the series chronicled a band of heroes across the Eastern Hemisphere.